the learning terrorists from a label egg, and Hashem, they were zeichet to do that. A lot of people in the world that never heard of a label, they only heard of the grandfather and the father. They're not familiar with a label, so we're becoming a little bit familiar to get a taste of his Torah. You see how unbelievable the depth, the combination of Mayach, of intellect and heart and mind, and Reb Leibler's teachings are very, very extraordinary. So, we're learning together, the last two times we're learning the meaning of Bris Kodesh, the meaning of Kedushas HaBris, a little bit, the taste in the writings of Reb Leibler. And I want to do with you some different types of pieces as we move along with the times of the parashias to do some different Torahs. And these are Torahs that I learned many years ago that made a tremendous reshim on me, so I want to do them together with you. And then you'll understand why it's, once you start with a label, it's very hard to go away from. So in the parasha, the first side we'll do is 78. The two sides, one says 78, the other one says 76, I think, whatever, but 78, yeah? So, the reconciliation, the meeting of Yosef HaTzadik and revealing his true identity to his brothers, even when you just read the Pshat and Chumash, It jars you out of your place. You can't be unmoved, even though you've seen it so many years, and every year when we come to it, we shake. We see this, we experience together with the brothers and with Yosef HaTzadik, this whole amazing event. So the brothers obviously were overwhelmed. And not only were they overwhelmed, but the Chachamim tell us that if the brothers of Yosef HaTzadik were unable to stand in his presence when they realized who he really was, then Al Chaskama V'Kama, he'll bring the Medrash in a minute. And how much more so when we realize in the future, when we really, really realize who the Rebbeinu Shlomo is and who he's been all these years, how much, can you imagine how we're going to feel? So Yosef HaTzadik tells the brothers, and everything Yosef is telling to his brothers, you have to understand that Hashem is telling us. And he will tell us. So Yosef is telling his brothers, V'ata alti atzu, v'yichar b'neichem. He says, V'ata, and now, don't be sad. Right? Don't be broken. Hashem sent me ahead, ki l'michil shalachani l'kim l'fneichem. Hashem sent me ahead that I should be able to prepare a place for our people, for our family. Rasul Mechem Sheir's bar is that we should be able to exist, we should be able to remain alive. So Reb Leibler says, Krami la seinu amura kam upon him. He says, I've spoken about this a number of times. Ki kol inyone esek ha-shvatim ha-yiramizu l'dairiz. That every single thing that took place with the Shiftei Kor, with the tribes, was a remez l'doros. It means it's telling us about something that's going to happen to each and every Jew in the years ahead. Chadisa b'Ramban HaKadosh, as the Ramban always says, thinking of Ma'aseh Avos, Siman L'Banim, that whatever the Avos, whatever our ancestors went through, it's a Siman that the children themselves are going to experience similar things. Umagam in his Galus Yosef. So what is the deeper meaning for each and every Jew? What's the deeper meaning of the revelation of Yosef HaTzadik, revealing his who he truly was? Who remembers in his Galus Yeshua Hamitis Lakla Yisrael. This means when the true salvation will be revealed to each and every Jew. And the truth will be completely known to each and every Jew. L'chol prat nefesh miyisrael, every Jew, the Jewish people and every Jew, chadisa v'medrash. Markish amani Yosef Baruch Nishmason, that's the medrash that I mentioned a minute ago, that if when Yosef HaTzadik said, who was the youngest of all of his brothers, I mean the youngest, Yomim, but he was the youngest when he left. But if we see that by Yosef, when he said those two words, and the Yosef, Baruch Nishmason, that the brothers, mamish, their souls left them, they almost died. So then, Kishayova, Nishal, Kodesh Baruch, Lachaskam of Akam. So how much more so? How much more so when Hashem will say, Ani Hashem, when Hashem will reveal the truth? Vine aperish aposhut hu. Kamoishu b'shazes galas yosef la'ashot and parchan ishmosim nehabushu hatzahar. However, now when you read that medrash and all the Sifrei Musar, this is one of the most popular medrashim in the Sifrei Musar, because it's a very shocking and it's a very cleansing type of a medrash if you take it in the proper way. Mostly it's the kind of a medrash that you don't want to think about in that interpretation. The interpretation of the Sifrei Musar is how much busha you should be so embarrassed when Yosef revealed who he was and his brothers realized what they had done. They realized the horror of what had taken place, the mistake that they made, not recognizing Yosef. And as a result of that, mistreating Yosef from that time when he was a child. So that's the type of embarrassment and humiliation that these great people felt in front of their younger brother. And who can imagine the busha, the humiliation, and the tsar, and the anguish, and the misery that we're going to experience when Hashem tells us the truth about how we made a mistake regarding Him, how we didn't recognize Him all of these years. So you understand why this would be a favorite medrash in the Sifrei Musar, because of all the misery and anguish that it causes you.
And I remember growing up, there were very few midrashim that we knew as children. This is one of the midrashim that our Rebbeim always made sure that we knew.
And this is the interpretation that we heard. That we're going to have to face the Ribbono Shel Olam. And when he says Ani Hashem, we're going to feel the most unbearable embarrassment and humiliation. Certainly there's truth to that. One can't say it's not true. Kein nuchel ahoven, so we can understand. Shabbais, sheyizke nefesh Yisrael hasgalas elokus b'emes. We understand on the simplest level that when a Jewish soul, when a Yid, when a Jew understands elokus godliness truthfully, when it's truthfully revealed to him, like you and I, we could play our games, we can make believe, we can go through the motions, and we continue. You know, we daven, we do our things, we eat kosher, we stay away from avarice that seem to be the worst types, in our own opinion. So we try to do the right thing, but when the day will come, when a Jew finally has his galus elokus be'emes, when the truth of Hashem's baruch becomes clear to him, azai kimat teitzeruchom nehabushav atzar benavshe, then he'll feel like he wants to die. He'll almost die. Why? Ech sha'ovol of kol yom of b'chaim chiyusa b'yivaren. How did I waste my entire life in such blindness and such stupidity? How is it that I didn't recognize Hashem? How is it that he's gonna remember with horror all the things that he did throughout his entire life when he made believe that that truth didn't exist? How did I spend my entire life, mamish, mamish, being blind? The daibusha chlima.
be terrible, terrible embarrassment and humiliation. So now, so Reb Label is telling us that this is the simple, this is the pshat, and this is the way the Medrash has been taught. But now look how, listen to what the Tzaddik writes. Listen, the words here, you have to let them in. Some of us might be so hardened by all the years of hearing the negative things. So listen, look and see how a Tzaddik learns a Medrash. Amdam, he says, however, Lova ha-medrash l'ha-tzif nevesh Yisrael chalila. It can't be that the medrash, the point of this medrash, is to cause a Jew to become sad. Unless it can be. But there's a medrash to it. There should be chazal should say something to cause a Jew to become sad. Kedivre Torah nekroi meshivas nevesh. David Amal said that every word, it doesn't just mean some topics, but every single word of Torah, the Baruch Hashem revealed, every single word of Torah was revealed to restore the soul, to give life, not to make you feel like you want to jump off a bridge, not to make you feel like there's no hope. It can't be. All divrei Torah are meshivas nefesh. I'm a sam chalev. All Torah has to bring joy. All Torah is the ultimate purpose, is to restore one's soul. Shenoisnim chizik lenefesh Yisrael. Imagine that every single word of Torah must be to give chizik to Jews. Raki Inyan, who said, therefore, how do we understand this? K'may shenamer. V'helukim also shiyirum lefanav. The Baruch Shalom has done many things in this world to see to it that man will fear him. That a Jew should be, have Yiras Hashem. That a Jew should fear, should be in awe of the Baruch Shalom. Ki ze ikar hamavukash meha'odam. K'may shenem elaman tia yiras al p'neichem. The Torah was given is that a Jew should be God-fearing. V'hine k'shena ayin b'inyin Yosef emechov. So the Bible says, if we look carefully at this inyin, if we look carefully at this whole inyin of Yosef with his brothers, Shemikoidim his galusalahem, before he revealed who he really was, Hechiyachayisam al kol prote maaseim imay. In a very amazing and mysterious way, which all the Mefarshim, of course, are explaining, he was teaching them a lesson about every single thing along the way that they had done that was wrong, and selling him, and so on, as all the Mefarshim discuss. Shemach Roysar, they sold him at Tzovach Sinus, and they painted, they dyed the robe. Sharon Yonik, as the Medrash goes through each of the things that Yosef HaTzadik was hinting at in his words. When Yosef, everything when Yosef was talking to us, but only afterwards they said, oh, that's what he meant. But they were picking up on it to the point that the brothers broke down. You remember, they said, Hashem and Manachem, we're guilty. Because they were picking up. They didn't know that Yosef meant that. They thought he was some Egyptian. They didn't know what he was talking about. But since these are great people, they hear messages from Hashem and everything. They hear messages all the time, even if it's coming from the mouth of an Egyptian. A person who's holy can hear messages from Hashem coming from the mouth of a donkey. Right? So they were hearing these hints, believing that all the time that it was just a sent from Hashem through the mouth of some impure Egyptian. But he was telling them piece by piece what had gone wrong. Omnam la'achir his galusa shehikir v'asmam. Now, it finally came to a point where the brothers broke. And at this point, Yosef HaTzadik couldn't hold back. Anymore. And then, Hikiru Ba'atzma, they recognized and they admitted themselves. They admitted and they recognized themselves. Then the smal of Busha al Ha'ara, and they were filled with embarrassment. Standing in front of Yosef, they were filled with embarrassment. He's not an Egyptian, he's Yosef, and he's the one whom he mistreated. And what happened after that? So imagine, all along, well, every step along the way, Yosef is telling them hints
you did this wrong, you did that wrong, you did this wrong. Just to bring them to a point where finally they would admit, Avol Hashemim Anachnu, we were wrong. But once they say that, once the brothers admit that and they recognize it, then Reb Leibel says, he doesn't mention one word about the past. Look until the end of his life. He doesn't talk about what happened. Doesn't mention a word. I told you so. Do you remember when? you think you're such a tzaddik. I haven't forgotten what you did to me. Not one word. Once the brothers come to that point where they are God-fearing again, meaning, I don't mean God forbid that they're not God-fearing, meaning that they came to admit, to recognize the horror of their mistake, and Echanami, Hashem does bring us to that. Because we can't live a lie. We have to be honest. So Hashem will give us different hints, and Ramazan will give us a patch, God forbid, he'll give us a pinch, he'll give us a kick, so that we should fear him. So we should live true lives. Therefore, many things will happen to remind us of the mistakes of the past. We might ignore those hints. The brothers didn't. So it came to a point where they broke to pieces and they said, "We're guilty. We're completely guilty. We listened to our brother screaming. We listened to him crying. We misjudged him. We made a mistake." After that, all Yosef HaTzadik does is kiss them and hug them. Right? Not only that, and he's machazik then. Commissioner Ma'atiyotzu, he says, no, don't be sad. So you can ask Akash, what do you mean don't be sad? This whole time that he's handling with them, he was upsetting them. This wasn't a pleasant experience the brothers had with this man. It was a very unpleasant experience. And all of a sudden, once they break down and they say and they admit to the truth and they climb out of that delusion, they climb out of the fantasy, then the tzaddik tells them, Altiotsu, don't be sad. Don't be sad. So they could have said, don't be sad, Shkoyach. What do you mean don't be sad? You shouldn't have reminded us about all this. We should have. Now the teretz is that a Jew has to have his heart straightened. And Hashem does that, and the tzaddik does that, to bring us to a point of admitting that it was a mistake, and that we should feel embarrassed, we should feel humiliated. The Medrash is true, and the Musa Sfarma, of course they're true, that a Jew should feel that pain. The only thing is, the difference here between Reb Leibel and the Musa Sefer, is that the Musa Sefer ends on that note, and it doesn't explain what happened afterwards. And this is, you can look through every Musa Sefer, they'll never ever talk about the next pasuk. But Yosef HaTzadik says, but now that you admitted the truth, I beg of you, Altiyot, so don't be sad. Right? Don't be sad. Not only that, Kilamichya, he says, you should know that it was Bashert. I had to come to Mitzrayim. It had to be. You have to understand, he's not telling them that they're not guilty of anything. So then what does it mean? Because right afterwards he says, no, it wasn't you that sent me to Mitzrayim. Hashem sent me to Mitzrayim. Hashem sent me here to pave the way, whatever that whole lineage is. But Hashem sent me here. So is he saying that they didn't have free choice? Is he saying that they're not to blame? What he's saying is that once a person does tshuva, then he's blameless. Then what's revealed is that there was a higher tachlis. This is consistent with the teachings of his great and awesome master, the Rebbe from Izbitz of the Meshilach. Once a person does tshuva be'emes, and he's able to finally overcome that delusion and to admit the truth, so then the Rebbe Shlomo makes it known to him that all that he went through was to bring him to that truth, to be honest with himself. And it wasn't, and not everything was his bechira. Something great was unfolding. He showed them his love. Shekol, and he showed them what? Shekol Masha also Hayasibul Atayv. He showed his brothers that everything that they did, from the time that they sold him, and everything that they did,
was all to bring about something that was ultimately good. Until now, he's hinting to them, this was bad, this was bad, this was bad, this was bad. But at the point that they said, we're mamish humiliated. And it's, the truth is that we made a mistake. Then Yosef HaTzadik changes the whole thing, turns it around. And Yosef HaTzadik says, no, it was, don't be sad. It was all good. It was a sibul atoyv. The litlam chaim l'dairis. This, what you did would bring life to all future generations. Hein b'olam hazeh, in this world, shu sibul hashpos parnosu l'dairis. That the children of Yaakov would be able, and their grandchildren, great-grandchildren would be able to have a parnosa. That includes us also. It's because Yosef HaTzadik became the Mashbir in Mitzrayim. Because he became the provider in Egypt. That you and I are able somehow to hopefully try to make a parnosa in this world. That also comes from our Egypt that we're in. Excuse me. That also comes from Yosef HaTzadik. And from being sold into Mitzrayim. And it says in Pasuk, Vayechalka Yosef, Yosef HaTzadik provided. Yosef HaTzadik provided for our people. Shal Yidei HaMaisa HaZeh Davke Nasetzin HaMashpia Kidua. That is Davke through this whole, series of events. When Yosef HaTzadik was sent and he was sold, and all that he went through, that he became that koch of tzaddik yisoid olam, of yisod, which means parnasa, which means hashpah. That to this day, if you and I are able to eat, if we're able to drink, if we're able to have a bed to sleep in, it's because Yosef was sent down to Mitzrayim. That's the only reason why. So Yosef became in Mitzrayim the chariot, the Merkava, the manifestation, the embodiment of that divine quality that's called Yisoid. Yisoid Tzadik, which gives Brocha, which gives Parnasa into this world. Yosef Merkavto, this is the deeper meaning of Yosef preparing and riding upon his wagon. Chariot. Because the Ovis are the Merkava, Chazal say, means that through the Tzaddikim Hashem transports a divine Midah, divine quality into this physical world. And Yosef became the chariot of this divine quality that's called Yisoid. Kidavka Yidei Shehayv Mitzrayim. And Zdavka, because he was in Mitzrayim, v'nisnasim v'chol minei pituyim. And just like us, in our Mitzrayim, that Yosef HaTzadik was tempted, was tested, with all types of temptations, with all types of pituyim. And there's Gaber B'Kedushasa, and Yosef HaTzadik was able to strengthen himself, and was able to pass those tests. Aydezeh Nasim Ekova L'Bechinas Yisoid Tzadik. That's how he became. Oh, thanks, Shkoyach. That's how he became the Merkava. That's how he became the chariot for this Midah of Yisoid, the Tzaddik, which we've been speaking about the last few weeks, the one who's able to be Shomer the Briz. He Davka gives the Koyach, he provides the energy of continuation. Remember, that's what we've been talking about, of eternalizing something. So the Tzaddik, Yosef, was in a place of unbelievable tumah, and he held himself back. And as a result of that, he's able to give, to provide, to every Jew, through him, as the conduit, to every single Jew to the end of time. This was not before. Because the Zohar says that until he had that temptation with Ashes Paitifer, until he had that Maisu with the wife of Paitifer, he was not called Tzaddik Yisrael. He became Yosef had Tzaddik because of that Maisu that he was able to resist, which, as we learned many times, is that temptation was on a madrega that people like ourselves can't possibly understand. And therefore, Yosef HaTzadik was able to comfort the brothers about the past. He was able to strengthen their hearts and to comfort them. Kinyan Av im Bino Yechida, like a father with his only child. Kashi Yor Lefon of Eza Pacha, Bimaisa Leitoyv Shasa, when it dawns upon the child that he's done something that's terrible, and he's caused a terrible mess, and he's filled with a pachad, with a terror, with a fear. Vayeira lev habenalov, and his heart is broken. So then what? When the father sees that, even though until now it could be that the father himself was angry, and the father was not only hinting to him, but was telling him a favorish. You did this, you did this, you did that. And all of them, the son, the child, was obstinate, and he refused to come to that point of yira. But when the child finally cries, and he's shaking, and he admits that he's guilty, and he's embarrassed, and he's frightened about the consequences of what he's done, then immediately the tone of the father changes. The tone of the mother changes immediately. Yiratzeyu av b'dvarim toivim. Then right away, the father, the parent, begins to console, to be mechazikim, b'dvarim toivim, b'nichumim, any words of comfort. Mechazik is libay, to strengthen his heart. Mechein hogam kein, esek Hashem esbochim kol, nefesh yisrael b'chol eis. This is how Hashem acts towards each and every Jew. Always. Kasha nice and hard on a libay. That the moment that a person gazes into his heart, Lura's habits to see the truth. And he admits the truth. He's very, very embarrassed. He's embarrassed about all that's happened to him, all that he's done wrong until now. Then immediately, Hashem. See, right after Tisha B'Av, how comes the Shiva the Nechemta? Right after Tisha B'Av comes the 7 weeks, not 1 week, not two. 7 weeks the Baruch Shalom is holding us and crying with us and saying, it's okay, it's okay. Until he says, Anoichi, Anoichi, Menachemcha. The Baruch Shalom comforts us. After we get the patch, after we get, but finally we come to admit, and we finally come to say, Hashiveinu Hashem Alecha, Nashuva Chadeshi Menachekedna, we need to come back to you, we need to do tshuva. And we admit, all of Tisha B'Av is, what is Tisha B'Av, what's Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur is the same thing. So after Yom Kippur, you have Sukkos. After Yom Kippur, you have Sukkos, you have Shana Rabbah, Shem Yetzeres, and Hastar, the days of greatest Simcha, the days of greatest closeness of His Karvus, of being embraced in Hashem, with the Sukkah, the Nanei Kovud, the clouds of Hashem's glory, the Rikudim, the dancing, the singing of Yontif, right after Yom Kippur, because after Yom Kippur, when a Jew felt embarrassed, he came through Aseres HaMetshuva and he admits and he recognizes the truth. He doesn't stand on Yom Kippur saying, continuing with this lie, to say, well, you know, maybe that Shulchan Aruch doesn't apply nowadays. Things are different after all. It's not the same as with our grandparents. Why can't we do this? I have a good friend who's very religious who does this, you know.
And all these silly terutsu, these excuses. Yom Kippur person is able to say, Hashem Levagad, is able to say, Al Chet Shechaton Lefanecha, and to mean it. So then right afterwards, what does the Baruch Shalom say? After Yom Kippur, don't be sad. Come, let's make freilich. Let's be besimcha. Sukkah, Simchas Torah is besimcha. Right afterwards. That's why it says in Sar that you know that you were forgiven on Yom Kippur, depending upon how much simcha you feel on Yom Kippur. After Yom Kippur, the simcha, not the simcha that I could have my coffee, a Danish. That's dumb. That's just frazzing. But the simcha of being forgiven. Because then the Baruch Shalom is telling you, he's reassuring you, just like Yosef did to his brothers. Now that you have finally said, Aval Hashem Manachnu, Hashem Lebegadnu, you admitted the truth. So the Baruch Shalom says, Va'ata al tiyatsu, don't be sad, ki lemich yishlachani. You should know that it had to happen, such a thing, what you went through. It's all because of the Yitzhahara, and I made the Yitzhahara, and I brought you to this, that you should be able to finally to come to the truth. Because very often a person can't ever be true. The truest times in our lives are usually emerge from the lowest points of our lives. That's just how it is. When things are going well, and everything seems to go smoothly, so you could be this faker, you could be just stand on a shallow, empty faker. I mean, you could talk from and everything, and you could look from, but stand. But God forbid, when a person sinks and hits the lowest place, and he admits, I can't believe that I've done this. I'm so completely humiliated and devastated. I'm ashamed and embarrassed. Look at the one who made me to face the Baruch Shalom. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts his arm around you and he tells you, like Yosef told his brothers, after they recognize, oh, this is Yosef, just like we recognize him, Kippur, this is Hashem. Then Hashem puts his arm around each and every Jew and says, come, we have to get ready for Sukkot. Don't be upset, don't be angry with the past. Don't think about the past. And yes, it doesn't say another word. Not another word. And if a Jew stands, God forbid, Sukkot, saying a Shana Begadu, you give him a smack across the face. Are you out of your mind? It's Sukkot. What are you standing there correcting? Well, someone Simchas Torah doesn't want to dance. If you were embarrassed in Yom Kippur, even if you don't know how you're going to change, you haven't figured it out yet, and it seems to you that you're going to end up, God forbid, in the same mess. You don't know what you're going to do. But you were true. You were honest. And when Hashem told you Yom Kippur, Ani Hashem, you stopped running, you stopped hiding, you stopped making believe, and that's the tachlis of being created. So then you could feel Hashem saying, don't be sad. That's why Yom Kippur is a yontif. But Yom Kippur is such a big yontif. And that's why it's important in Shulchan Aruch, the minhag, to begin right away with the sukkah. Something happens with sukkahs to take care. Because the sukkah is the Baruch Shalom saying, don't be sad. Don't be sad. Ki isha she'ima t'nachamenu, as it says in Pesach, like a man whose mother comforts and consoles him. You should know. This happened to me, how many times growing up, I don't know if you could share this with me, but I know that my mother would go after me, and I deserved it. I deserved 1,000 times more than she gave me. So my mother would come after me, and I was in action, I still am. But I was stubborn, and my mother was, and I used to see that it was getting, it was getting worse. It was escalating, and because I was in action, and then, finally, if I would step away from the actions, when I saw that my mother was mamish, that she was just getting so broken by what I was doing, I would just say, "I'm sorry, Malik. I'm sorry. I'll try not to do it next time." Then my mother would start to cry. She says, "No, it was terrible. I yelled at you. Oh, you're very." I should never have yelled at you. She starts hugging me, and what a bad mother I am, and how could I even have, and it's all crazy. Mom, 2 minutes ago, she's telling me, but you're causing me, and your grandparents are looking down from Shemayim, and they're wondering what kind of a child you mean, all these lashinas. Yiddish, Hungarian, a little English, I mean, the whole thing. And the next minute, my mother's saying, no, don't be sad. It's, you see, it's all good. No, what you did, it's all good. It's going to be fine. And it was for the good that it happened. So the Baruch Hashem does that. Kisha she'ima ta'achmanu. The children don't get that. Because if they would get it, they would break more easily and admit the truth. I see that with one or two of my kids. I have one in particular, the Shum Eifen, won't back off. And then I'll go after him. Won't back off. I'm thinking to myself, and I say, just say you're sorry. You know something, you don't have to even mean it so sincerely. First step is something. Just some acknowledgement. No, you don't understand, misunderstand. No, it's because of mommy, it's because of this one, because of that one, and then my rabbis have been the principal. But if a kid says, I'm sorry, then that's the end of it. Then you say, only a parent can be like that. With everybody else, how many times, even with a husband and wife, it comes up later in the conversation, a parent doesn't do that. A husband and wife, even after they make up, they have another fight 7 years later, say, he'll chazer over the old mice. And you remember when you did that last time, she says, what are you talking about? It was the last Shemitah. Yeah, I didn't forget. Zohar Ezker Anoite. I don't forget. But not a parent and a child, not Jewish parents. A child is sorry and stops playing the game and is honest. So the parents, the mother or father says, Al Teotsu, Kilimichish Lacha. Don't feel bad. Laharis Lashagam Kalmansu Shad Ato Hesibulatov. Ragze Nirtsum Heodim Shia Yiras Hashem Believe, because all God asks of a Jew is that you should be honest. You should be real. Even if, God forbid, you retreat back into something later on, but at least for the moment. At that moment when a person is honest and real, then the Baruch Shalom can't be angry at him. Then the Baruch Shalom tells him, just like Yosef told his brothers, don't feel embarrassed, don't feel ashamed. It had to be. It was good. And you see how everything good came from this? Till the end of time, something good is coming from this. I also believe that the opposite is true, that when a parent is able to admit the mistake, that children also will completely forgive and will want their parents not to be sad. And I've seen very, very often parents who are such balei gaiva, they're so conceited, they're so hung up on their position as parents, that they can't admit to their own child that they made a mistake. And that goes on for years and years and years, and the child becomes more distant. I've seen situations where there are parents who are hurting children for 30, 40 years. And they were terribly apart from, they were distant from each other. And then finally, when this father or this mother comes back to the kid and cries and says, I'm so sorry that I hurt you and I was wrong, it can turn around the entire relationship. But it's not so often that you find parents that can do that. Parents hold very, very often, they hold too strongly from this. A parent needs to, of course, be a parent. But he also can't be a liar. A parent can't be a liar. And a kid can't stand when the parents are lying. Kids can't respect a parent who's a liar. And the kid knows, they might not when they're 6 or 7, but when they're 20, 30, 40 years old, they know very well when something wrong took place. And if a child is able, if a parent is able to tell a child that it wasn't Yoisha what I did, and I'm going to try not to do it again, that doesn't mean the child will lose respect. Other rather, the child will love that parent much more and respect the parent much more. A lot of parents don't see it that way. Because our eyes and ears to behold them, she a year is Hashem Aliba. That's all that Hashem wants, is that we should be honest, we should be real. Because the Rebbe makes now the connection that we were talking about before.
And Shakol Nefesh Yisrael Mola Yira Pachad Shivya Slava Kalhover comes to Yom Neroim, comes to Shayim Kippur, and every Jew's heart is broken, is filled with fear, terror. And we saw the Shem's Baruch Nehem Ala Yom HaZeh of Al Tiyatzvah. But look what Hashem says about Rosh Hashanah. By Ezra Nechemiah, so Baruch Hashanah said, Al Tiyatzvah, Ki Chedves Hashem Himu Uzchem. It's amazing. Rosh Hashanah, you go home after davening and you make a yontif. You eat and you drink and you do the mishpacha and you sing and you have a yontif. Because the Baruch Hashanah is telling you, if in the morning you were honest in your davening, when you said HaMelech, and you remembered who I am and who you are, then there's no reason to be sad. Because then you've come to the Tachlis. So therefore it says regarding Rosh Hashanah, it says in the Pasuk, Al Tiyatzvu Ki Chedves Hashem Himu Uzchem. Because the joy of Hashem is your strength. So in Rosh Hashanah, every year Hashem strengthens the Jewish heart. It says in Pasuk that by Hashem there's joy and happiness. Even though it's a very big discussion, Achronim, Shagazari, and other Achronim that discuss the nature of the din of Simcha and Rosh Hashanah, is it like other Yom Tovim? Is it different from other Yom Tovim? He says that we see that Al Pi Halacha, that a Jew is chayav on Rosh Hashanah to have a Simchas Yontif. Ul Hizchazek B'Bitochen, and to strengthen himself with trust and faith in Hashem. Because the essence of what God wants of man, is to be truly, truly God-fearing, which means to admit the truth. That's why I always say that, you know, you have some people that they come up with all kinds of convoluted excuses, and they try to use halacha, or what they call halachic explanations for all the things that they're doing that are not proper. They'll try to explain there's a Rambam, there's this, there's that they try to blame it on some Adam Gadol that Rabbi Avadia Yosef said like this, or Soloveitchik said like that, and there's that here and here, make up all kinds of things saying it's not clear from Shulchan Aruch, and maybe you can. Those people who do that, they're so far from the truth. You have other kinds of Jews who say very simply, listen, I know this can't be. I know it can't be right. You know, I don't need a psak from Rabbi Yosef to tell me there's something wrong with having cable television. You need to have a psak tell you that. You talk to certain people about things that are so obviously against the Ratzon Hashem. And they're like, well, I don't know, because it's not so clear. Maybe it's not Gilai Arayis, because it's a glass screen. You don't see any, there's no Arayis in person, and Pshat and Rambam, there has to be Arayis in person. You know, all this stuff, like the Baruch Shalom hears this stuff, I'm sure he just spits. Because, you know, he can't stand lawyers. He could deal with the person who's honest, who's having a struggle. And the person says, listen, I sure do know that this is wrong. I call out to you, Baruch Shalom, help me. I don't know. I'm stuck in this crazy thing. I can't get away from it. It's just a silly habit in my life. I don't know what to do. But when a person starts putting Rambams or Moshe Feinstein's into his aveiros, then the Baruch Shalom loses his tolerance. Because the person has no Yirah Shamayim. No Yirah Shamayim. Right? So you can tell a person could dress a certain way. But if the Chafetz Chaim would walk into the room, all of a sudden they'd be nervous about how they look. Because you could play games with the Rambams and Rav Moshes as long as you like until you see the Chafetz Chaim. Then something inside of you tells you, I better close this button. This isn't right. Right? So everybody can have all these svaras, you know, all these things. The Marshal, like, you know, and these people, when it comes to the Indian, please forgive me. I never mean to lose friends by saying the truth, but sometimes, you know, it could happen. That's exactly what we're talking about. The Baruch Shalom can deal with Jews who are imperfect. He loves us because we're imperfect. But we can't be liars. So this whole school of thought that'll say that, you know, when it comes to, let's say, a married woman covering her hair, when it comes to svaras, like this and like that, and come on. What are you talking about? There's not one paisek that ever says such a thing is allowed. So what are you making up all kinds of games and playing Rambams and there's a Tosfos and there's a whole chevra that I know that they learned the pshat, their so-called Rosh Hashiva learns the pshat in a Rishon that the woman's allowed in her house to wear her hair uncovered even if other men come into the house as the Maisa. Because he learned pshat like that in the Rishon. He doesn't care, not the Chassam Sofer, not the Vilna Gaon, not the Ben Ish Chai. Nobody ever learned our Rishon like that. Like the Vilna Gaon didn't know how to learn Rishon. Chassam Sofer didn't know how to understand the Shita Mekubetzes. Only this rabbi does. So he told his handful of followers that in the house a woman doesn't have to cover her hair, even if there are other men, not the husband, that's something else, right? That's a Zoya. But I'm saying if there are strangers in the house, it's in her. Why? He's not a pshat. He hasn't. It's a chotzer. It's your chotzer. An Irish guy. It's not even good learning. But let's say it were good learning. Let's say the learning was good learning. Let's say it was a nice lamdas. You want to say lamdas, you give a shiur and yeshiva of lamdas, and then you give a shiur of lamdas. That's beautiful. But the halach is the same way that the Chassam Sofer said, and the Mishnah Berurah. That's how we go. Because we're ma'amin, and we believe in the Rabbanu Shalom. We don't believe in ourselves. That's called Yiras Hashem. That's called honesty. And that's what the Rabbanu Shalom wants. It doesn't mean that we're holding by it. And that's not the point of what I'm saying, is therefore I'm saying that whoever doesn't go out and cover the hair, man, that's not what I'm saying. That's Narishka. I'm not talking like that. I never talk that way. But I'm saying this, that at least for a person to say, you know, it's a very noble thing. It's a great thing. It's the Ratzon Hashem. I don't feel that I can handle it right now. Help me, Rabbi Shalom. Help me. I want to learn more about it. I want to understand what your will is. Teach me. Explain to me. So for that, the Rabbi Shalom says, Ata, Ata, don't be sad. Don't be sad. Well, I will learn. The Rabbi Shalom loves Jews like that. But not the kind that have all kinds of svaras and this phony lambdas and they can write articles. I know, but some of the articles that I've read in my life by some rabbis, I mean, Hashem Yirachem. They call themselves rabbis, Hashem Yirachem. All to make up stories in halacha, to play with halacha. So that's what he says. Kashabo ha'yir ba'amaz, Hashem is barach ba'atzma kivyochel mechazik as a life. When you're true, when you're honest, then Hashem himself gives you chizik. And you feel that inside yourself. Because you feel that after a good cry. You feel that after a Yom Kippur. You feel that after an honest time. You feel when you're honest with yourself, you feel good inside. You feel that there's hope for you. Even though you might not have changed so much, lamaise. But inside of you, you feel that there's hope. Because at that time, your neshama senses HaKadosh Baruch Hu comforting it and saying, the neshama, va'ata alte atzva, don't be sad, and that there's a reason that you have to go through this, and you can make it, it'll be alright in the end. U'mechazik es alev v'maymer hanovi v'alte atzva, u'kemaymer Yosef l'echo, va'ata alte atzva. As Yosef HaTzadik said to his brothers, don't be sad. So the Medrash is certainly true. And the simple pshat of the Medrash is, the Rebbe is not arguing the Medrash, that we are going to be embarrassed, we're going to be humiliated. But then a moment later, the Rebbe is going to comfort us. As long as we feel embarrassed and humiliated. But if you don't feel embarrassed at all, if you don't admit at all that there's anything wrong, if you go on living that deception, that lie, that everything is perfect because I'm perfect and therefore everything I do is perfect, and I'm certainly a halachic Jew. I live in the spirit of halacha. So, and you're not embarrassed about certain things. So then how could you feel simcha sechaim? You can't feel any joy. Because your neshama knows that it's wrong. So you're caught up in this terrible, you're caught up stuck in between those two worlds. And be happy. That's one of the major causes of atzvos, of sadness.
That's one of the major causes of atzmus. If a person would admitting and feeling embarrassed is a way of getting rid of that accumulated sense of guilt. It's a very powerful thing. You know, in Rabbi Nachman's teachings, this is something which is not, I don't usually discuss Barabbin. Those who learned a little Likutei Moran knows that Rabbi Nachman has one Torah, and he spoke about it a number of times in the Sichus. You know, Rabbi Nachman, the wrestler is recalled very often in Europe, the Vidunikers, the ones who say Vidui, the ones who confess. Because Rabbi Nachman held that it's important for a Jew to confess to the Tzaddik. It's not a Goyish thing. It's a Goyim like everything else that they took from us. But there's needing to confess to a Tzaddik. And he has a whole Torah to explain what that means. And it has to do with Yosef HaTzaddik and his brothers. When you confess to the Tzaddik, you're confessing to the Baruch Shalom. The Tzaddik will not condemn you for it. But to feel the embarrassment and humiliation, and then to receive the chizik and the love of the Tzaddik, and the encouragement, is what makes the Jewish people. And even though it's hard, because we're so used to hearing about, about confessions as something which is non-Jewish. And nowadays anyway, wouldn't we go to what we do if we had Rabbi Nachman here, maybe we would confess. We're afraid to confess to anybody else. But when a person is misvada, then he's taking the poison that was inside and he's expelling it. The poison is removed. When he means what he says. And once the poison is removed, then he feels a joy, and he feels a sense, a chaim, he wants to go on with life, he feels the joy of being alive. So the Baruch Shem should help us that we should be honest Jews, and that we should be able to feel him saying, I told you a story once, I learned with a Maisa, I told even Shula Maisa, that there was a Jew who did his Lublin, and he was one of the wealthiest chassidim in Lublin. One of the wealthiest Jews in Lublin was a chassid of the seer of the chayza. And he did a terrible aveira. It was an aveira with a nizinyan of kibris, or something with a woman. And he came to the chayza from Lublin. He came to speak about something else that he was upset. You know, when you feel guilty, you're upset about different things. And the chayza, they didn't call him the chayza for nothing. So the chayza took one look at him. He told him to take off his hat, because the chayza used to look at the forehead, right? So the chayza told him to take off his hat, and he started to cry, and the chayza said, take off your hat. And he took off his hat, and the chayza looked at him, and told him exactly with whom he was over, when he was over the veyer, exactly what time, what happened. And the man broke down, he was crying. And he asked the chayza, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? How can I do the tshuva? Can I do the tshuva? The chayza said, it's very hard to do the tshuva. How could you have done such a thing? And the chayza mamash gives it to him. And then the chayza says, look, there's only one way to do tshuva. So he figured, you know, this is going to be a rough one. It's going to be tehillim for the next 40 years, whatever. I'm going to have to build a yeshiva, build this, that, and it's going to be tough. So chayza says, no. That's what I want you to do. Chayza's office was attached to Bais Medrash in Lublin on a regular day. There were hundreds of Jews sitting and learning. This chassid was the wealthiest, most prominent chassid of Lublin. The chayza says, I want you to go now, walk out, go up to the bima, give a clap on the bima. Don't say, God forbid, the name of the woman. Just say exactly what you did, the affair you did in front of the whole island. So he said, what? Rebbe, anything, I'll do anything. Chayza says, listen, I have no patience for you. If you sincerely want to do tshuva, that's the only way you can have it. So you can imagine the guy walks out from the Rebbe's office, and he walks into Bais Medrash, he hears everybody learning and davening, telling him, and this is like every step is mamish an eternity. And he feels himself descending into hell. And he's heading towards the beam, and he doesn't know how he's going to do it, and he's crying, and everybody's busy. And he's about to go up the step of the beam, and he feels a hand on his shoulder, and he turns around, and it's the chayza, the seer of Lublin. And the chayza goes like this on his cheek, he makes nice, he says, that's enough, it's enough. Go home, it's alright, everything's okay.
That was it. Vata, now don't be sad. Al te'atso. Chedav Hashem imuzchem. You were honest, you were true, you were going to do that. That story is only good for one time, you understand. But it's real. Because you, because that Jew came to that point of Emes, the Kadeshi Yirumalafan, that he was God-fearing. And because he came to that point, that's all the Rebbe wanted to bring. The Rebbe never ever would have had a Jew go like that in front of him. He never would have taken this guy in front of an oilam to destroy him like that. But he didn't know that, the Chassid. And because he was prepared to do that, he came to the Nakuta, that point of Emes. And once he came to that point, then it was finished. There's nothing to talk about. He said, Sadik, it's finished. It's all done. It had to be. It was this. It was that. And don't be sad. Go back to your mishpacha, b'simcha. Should be fair. Should be hunted. Should make the sukkahs together. So the Baruch Shem should help us that we should be honest. And that we should admit that we should be able to feel like HaKadosh Baruch Hu putting his hand on our shoulders and telling us not to be sad. And to believe that it all came in it for very good reasons. And that brings us ultimately to being the best people we could be. That we should be zeichem as Hashem to the time. This is the ikar avodah of Mashiach, is to tell the whole Jewish people, v'ata al te'atso, don't be sad. And to come back to b'samikdash, b'simcha, b'sasim, v'yizgal sarim, hir yameinu amein. I just want to mention,